Next on BYUSN, it is a ball night for BYU men's basketball and not just any other. 23rd-ranked Kansas in the Marriott Center for the first time ever. We'll discuss the game with a number of topics, including where BYU has clear advantages over the Jayhawks. Plus, we'll tell you our boldest predictions for tonight's massive showdown.
ESPN's Sean Farnham is in the house to preview BYU-Kansas and discuss what a win would mean for the Cougs. And tonight's game is the highest profile game in the Marriott Center since? We'll answer that question. And we'll count down the top five games in Marriott Center history.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy game day, Tuesday, February 18th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who has only one game on his greatest BYU games in Fog Allen Fieldhouse, Jerome Jordan.
Yeah, how about BYU going in last year and winning that game? I mean, that was unbelievable. You were there, dude. How was it?
It was one of the best live sporting experiences I've had in my life. From the atmosphere, the history of the venue, the ambiance, to what BYU did late in the game, to absolutely send 16,000 Kansas fans away stunned. It's fantastic.
Dallenhall's step back against Hunter Dickinson, which added to BYU's lead. That's one of the iconic moments for BYU basketball in recent history, man. That play right there.
Cold-blooded.
Got him on his heels and then crushed it.
I love the bench reaction to that made three. All of them just immediately get on their feet. Oh!
I think Down wanted to, like, pocket the finger guns at that point, but he didn't. Here we go. BYU-Kansas tonight. Cannot wait for this game. When BYU got to the Big 12, this is one of the matchups I thought, man, this is going to be awesome. Kansas is coming to the Marriott Center. We didn't have it last year, but we have it this year, and it's the second time in Provo they've ever played. In 1960, BYU won by 10 in the Fieldhouse. So this is the first game ever in the Marriott Center between these two.
True blue blood back in the Marriott Center. Plenty of reasons to rise and shout. We got a lot to talk about in What's Trending.
We need to win ball games.
There's some desperation element for Kansas here.
Heavy paint presence, heavy post presence with Dickinson.
Hunter Dickinson is playing at an All-American level. He's already a two-time All-American.
You can make that narrative, oh, they're going to be hungry and this and that. Well, so are we.
Oh, baby, let's go.
I love good for them, but we're thinking about that too. Comment.
BYU at 8-6. Kansas at 8-6. Both teams tied for fifth. The winner takes sole possession of fifth place in the Big 12 standings tonight.
And has the tiebreaker over the other because they only play
there
once.
There you go. Number 23, Kansas in the Marriott Center, as we just talked about, for the first time ever. So let's go into the matchup and discuss numbers to pay attention to. These are the key metrics, numeric storylines, and ultimately we're trying to determine who holds the advantage when we examine these numbers. So let's start with this, Jerem. BYU, not surprisingly, really good at home. 12-2 at the Marriott Center. I know they had a couple of setbacks to Texas Tech and Arizona, both those teams on the elite level of Big 12 competition thus far.
Three in the league.
Cougars are 5-2 at home in Big 12 play. Kansas, on the other side, has really struggled on the road. They've lost 6 of their 9 road games, including the last 3 straight, most recently just up the road from Provo against Utah.
Utes beat the Jayhawks.
How do you view BYU's home court advantage versus Kansas's road struggles? Where is the bigger concern for these two teams?
Certainly, this one feels obvious, right? BYU has a big home court advantage in this, given Kansas's struggles, too. I think even if Kansas was good on the road, I'd say advantage BYU. Marriott Center's a tough place to play, as most teams have found. Arizona and Texas Tech, despite those losses, BYU's in those games at the end. Arizona, BYU didn't make a field goal for 6 minutes. Texas Tech, it's a close game with 5 minutes to go. Can BYU beat Kansas? I don't think Kansas is as good as those teams, Spence.
Baylor?
I think that's interesting, because Baylor's a half game back of BYU and Kansas. I think they're in a similar spot. But you look at Kansas, and you have instant respect from who the program is, who they have, but this is a very winnable game. In fact, the line is BYU by as many as 3.5 right now. That screams home court is a big deal in this game.
Yes, it absolutely is a clear advantage for BYU. Kansas is going to have to flip the script. Are they playing with confidence right now? No, I said yesterday. They're playing with desperation, so the urgency will be there. Certainly, they feel like this is a game they have to try and establish that they are still worthy of a top 25 ranking. And there are people that thought Kansas should have dropped out of the top 25. Several voters didn't put them in the top 25.
They're barely in. I don't necessarily care about AP ranking anymore, though. They're 15 in net. This is going to be a quad one on Selection Sunday.
What matters most for BYU.
This would be BYU's biggest win of the season for multiple reasons. Net and just you're beating the winningest program in college basketball history. I know Kansas isn't what they were, but they're still really good. This is a team that right now would be a 5 or 6 seed, maybe 4 in the NCAA tournament. This would be a massive win for BYU, and I think they will win. Let's go.
BYU, for the first time ever, if they win this game and protect home court with the home court advantage, would move 3 games above 500 in conference play. They've been checking boxes
amazing.
All year, Jerem. Can they check another one? Can they check that off the list and get to 3 games above 500 in Big 12 play?
They're going to tonight. Next one. BYU won 76-68 at Kansas last year, as we just talked about, in the only meeting as Big 12 foe so far. So BYU's 1-0 conference record against Kansas. They're seeking a bounce back off of that.
Yeah.
Does BYU hold an advantage because they've won the one game, or does it not matter?
No, it does. It doesn't matter. If anything, it probably bothers Kansas and Hunter Dickinson and their veterans that remember losing to BYU at home. So, yes, and Kansas, they need to take any mental advantage or tweak whatever they can in their minds to get even more ready for this game, because it's going to be a raucous environment tonight. So, as Kevin Young told us when we came back or into this initial trending topic, like, they're going to be amped up. You can talk about that narrative. Well, we're going to be ready to. We are hungry too. So in the beginning of the game, I feel like Kansas will come out with a lot to prove. I think that their energy and their effort's going to be really high off the start.
If it's not, that's pathetic. Because Sean Farnham in the Utah-Kansas game called out the effort of
Kansas.
He went after him. Like, if you don't have great effort, then what are you doing? I think they will too. But I think BYU, the juice in the gym, and BYU thrives in these kind of moments. Again, if you're playing Houston at home, Arizona, Texas Tech, BYU is going to compete well. Are they going to beat those guys every time? No. But Kansas is super vulnerable. Like, Utah beat them. BYU can certainly beat them at home.
Yeah, they're a wounded animal.
Absolutely.
How will the wounded animal respond? Will they fight for their lives and, like, survive?
Right. Or
do you cower and now all of a sudden you're buried in the middle of the Big 12 standings?
BYU's going to have to play a very good to great game to win. I don't doubt it, but I just think BYU will.
Okay.
So I actually disagree with you. I think BYU holds an advantage.
You do, because they won last
year. I
think
they have a confidence piece that is unique. If BYU had lost that game last year, they'd still feel like, okay, we're at home, we can do this. If I'm Richie, Dallin, Foos, Dawson Baker, Trevin Nell, I'm telling Yegor Demin and Kaba Caden, these guys, hey, we beat them there. We're going to defend here.
Protect home court.
We will do this. You have some confidence. Down Hall's like, oh, yeah, I'll just step back on Hunter Dickinson again. I've done it before. I think there's a confidence piece there.
Dallin is playing with a ton of confidence for sure off that
Kansas
State game.
Season high 16, 14 in the second half.
Yes, yes. Kansas State coaching staff very complimentary of what Dallin Hall did to them in BYU's most recent win. Okay, next one. BYU's high-powered offense. The 15th ranked offense according to Ken Pomeroy's index. Kansas's defense, the 5th highest rated defense, according to those same Ken Pom numbers. So, BYU's number 15 overall offense versus Kansas's number 5 defense. Who holds the advantage here?
I think it's BYU because of the road struggles we talked about. Kansas is not the same team on the road as home. That's most teams, but therefore give BYU the home court advantage in terms of offensive efficiency, how they're playing. 16-0 when they score 1.1 points per possession or better. Like, 16 of your 17 wins are in that number. That's incredible. Last time a top 10 ranked defense came into the Marriott Center, BYU beat that team by 28. It was Cincinnati. They were 9th. I think I'm not calling for a 28-point win. I'm calling for BYU's offense to be more advantageous than Kansas's defense.
The fact that BYU is playing this game at home matters the most. And I know we continue to kind of default to that. Well, it's at the Marriott Center. But
it's
Kansas, everything that Kansas does on the season overall, when you can put it in the vacuum of road contests, they're a shell of themselves. Like, if Kansas comes outside of the UCF game that they played, Jerem, where they, like, couldn't miss a shot and their fifth-rated defense was incredible, Kansas has not done hardly anything the road of note.
Even home, some games. They lost to West Virginia at home. They let UCF play them close. Like, what?
So because this game, again, is in the Marriott Center, and the juice that comes if BYU's offense gets cooking and how loud that place gets, just ask Kansas State and Baylor and all the teams that BYU's taken down in the Marriott Center. It's overwhelming. So, yes, on a neutral floor, defense typically travels. Like, if this game were at the Big 12 tournament, then I might give the edge to Kansas's defense.
And having seen the Kansas fan base and the way they show up
there, travel, yeah.
I'd give Kansas the
edge. Even though it's a neutral site game, defense typically travels. And in a de facto road game, like, then I would give the advantage to Kansas. But this is in Provo.
And it's 90 minutes from campus.
Yeah.
Lawrence is nearby.
And then I was a little hesitant to go all the way in on home court because last time I did that was against Arizona. I was like, I don't know if I'm buying Arizona because what are they? Arizona has answered the call.
They are better
than
Kansas.
Won at BYU. They have now won at Baylor as of last night. Arizona is a good road team. Kansas is not a good road team.
Nope. Okay, next up, BYU relies on its depth to win games. BYU 18th in the country in bench scoring, nearly 30 a game. Kansas relies more heavily on their starters, only 152nd in bench scoring. So, BYU's depth versus the Kansas starters. Who holds the advantage?
How do you defend 11 guys and prepare for them adequately? We have heard several BYU players say this, like Richie Saunders most recently. It's hard to prepare for 11 different guys and be fully ready and on a short turnaround and on a two-game road swing in the Beehive State if you are Kansas. So I'm taking BYU's depth because they're home, Jerem.
Yeah.
They're sleeping in their own beds, and everyone's going to have fresh legs. There's no de-icing the plane for 3 hours, coming home from West Virginia and then having to turn around and play this game. BYU has been home. They are going to take advantage of this. BYU's depth, while they are on their home floor and rested, should be the advantage here. Again, Kansas is, I mean, they're working against a bunch of different things. If Kansas wins this game tonight, all credit to them because they will have beaten the odds on multiple fronts.
Yeah, they're the ranked team. They're supposed to come in and win, but we're seeing the line is BYU by 3.5, which is interesting. Hunter Dickinson is the best player in the gym. 7'2", two-time second-team All-American. He's amazing. Okay, K.J. Adams, a physical force, but he's not played well recently. 4 points, 3 boards at Utah. DeJuan Harris was on that national championship team in 22.
I love DeJuan Harris.
He's a good point guard. He doesn't normally score a ton, but he scored 10-plus in 4 of 5. That'll be interesting.
They probably need him to do that if they're going to win.
I agree. Zeke Mayo, the Summit League player of the year out of South Dakota State, he's been good. 41% shooter from 3, 15 a game.
Their best shooter by
far. He's kind of the X factor for me, second leading scorer. Ryland Griffin's been in the lineup, but only scored 17 the last 4 games.
Where do you go after that, Jerem?
They thought A.J. Storr from Wisconsin, who put up like almost 20 a game last year, he would be better. He's 6 a game. He's only had 2 double-digit scoring games since December 5th. Flory Bidunga is kind of the backup big
protector.
He shoots 76%. He's just getting right at the rim. He's not a huge kind of scoring force. Did score 19 against Houston, but that's kind of the outlier. They don't have a big bench. I wonder if BYU goes back to what they've been doing, Spence, which is, hey, add elevation, little tempo, bench juice, and energy. Let's run these guys so the last 5-10 minutes, they run out of gas a little bit. Like, could that happen? Could BYU get up by 12 and it's tinkering on being a blowout? We'll see. Kansas is awesome. Like, I see scenarios in the multiverse of how this game plays out where, hey, Kansas wins a bunch of matchups in this. I think this is a good matchup, but it's one that BYU's got to play well in. I just think BYU's up for it. And they sense a moment. We saw this in the football season. The football team many times answered the bell when there was a moment. This is a moment in the season. And if you want to feel and tell the fan base we're equal to or better than last year's team, you have to beat Kansas at home because that was the win last year.
And BYU doesn't have the luxury of relying on an incredible non-conference.
Right.
People keep asking, well, if BYU is ahead of schedule where they were last year, then why are they not being treated the same? Their metrics and their efficiency are not quite the same, but they don't have hardly anything to point at in their non-conference schedule.
Right.
And the tournament selection committee is well aware of that.
But if you finished 5th this year, that's better than 5th last year because you added Arizona. So you're down a line, right? But yet you went to the same level. That means you're kind of up a spot.
Sure. And they were tied for 5th last year, but they won the tiebreak against Kansas.
Yes. This is a tiebreaking situation like Kansas State, by the way, over the weekend.
Now BYU would be in sole possession of 5th place.
Because nobody else said
Baylor be 8-7.
Yep.
Okay. Kansas would be 8-7. BYU would be 9-6, staring up at Iowa State and the rest.
And you still have at Arizona, at Iowa State. There are a few losses probably sitting there for BYU. Win this game.
All right, you were just mentioning Hunter Dickinson, Kansas's big man, who has been, I mean, outside of the Utah game recently, he's been playing at an All-American level.
Yeah,
he's one of the most experienced players in the country. Also happens to be 7'2", and is a force inside. BYU will match up against Dickinson with a combination of Kei Bikeda and Foush Traore. It almost seems silly to ask, but who holds the advantage here in that post matchup?
Hunter Dickinson does, but I think Kei Bikeda and Foush can hold their own. Remember, Foush started in the win last year. Didn't have a great game. Kei Bikeda is coming off, I would argue, his best game of the season. 9 points, 11 rebounds, second most this year. A career-high 5 blocks, all in 18 minutes. Kei Bikeda, I wouldn't challenge Kei Bikeda. See what happened with UCF at the end of the game and in the line after, in the handshakes. I'm excited to watch these matchups. I'm interested to see if Mihailo Boskovic plays some more at the five and if they draw Hunter Dickinson out of the paint a bit, because Hunter Dickinson wasn't given a great effort, frankly, on some of the ball screens against Utah. So we'll see if BYU can take advantage. I would say Dickinson in this, but also I wouldn't bet against the Molly men, our two dudes.
Hunter Dickinson shot 33% from the field in that loss against Utah. That's not going to happen tonight. That's not going to happen.
Think it'll be higher.
He's going to have a much better game. But, and frankly, I feel like he has to have a huge game along with DeJuan Harris. Like, those two veterans need to lead out for Kansas.
Do they have to have 35 or 40?
They probably need to combine for, at least 35. They might have to hit that 40 mark to really help Kansas set the pace and put some pressure on BYU.
They average 27.
Yeah, that I feel like those two are going to be the ones that lead. And then if Zeke Mayo can knock down a bunch of threes, I mean, he's really the only one that is a guy that BYU has to be super aware of on the perimeter, right?
The only big-time shooter, it would seem.
Yeah, I feel like while there is a clear advantage for Hunter Dickinson, how much can he make up in a team element, in a team game?
Now, if he's dominating down low, and now BYU has to double team, and now shooters are getting open.
And they're making some threes, then it gets weird.
Now it's trouble, yeah.
Okay.
Guard your yard.
Yep. All right.
Okay, what's your bold prediction for the game tonight?
The BYU outscores Kansas in the paint.
Oh, nice.
Very bold.
Nice.
Okay? BYU outscores Kansas in the paint. BYU has dominated the last few games attacking the rim. I feel like that is working for them.
Yep.
Their depth plays into that. They want to get after the offensive glass. Cable wants to play with more force. They're encouraging him to do so. Dallin Hall is scoring in the paint. I think that there is a legitimate chance that BYU could do it. Even if Dickinson goes for 24 or 26, Jerem.
Let's hope he's not Dunkinson.
Yeah. He might be a few times tonight.
Double times.
As part of the deal.
You even have to jump when you're 17?
It's part of the deal. But that's my very bold prediction that BYU outscores Kansas in the paint.
You had 41 points in the paint against Kansas State. They were getting at the rim. Mine is that BYU wins by more than the spread of 3.5.
Ooh.
That BYU covers, as they say.
Clear cover.
Yeah. I just have a lot of confidence in BYU, the way they're playing right now, the way they're playing at home. I think Kansas is good. I don't think they're as good as Arizona and Texas Tech. So I have a lot of confidence going into this. I'm almost scared how confident I am. I'm not calling for 17+, nor would I in this situation. So don't be hating on me like you do in football with that number. But no, I think BYU will play a great game. I think the crowd's going to be unbelievable. Can't wait, man. When BYU went to the Big 12, we were excited about these games, like more Gonzaga-St. Mary's matchups. And we are getting it tonight.
Mm.
Cannot wait, man.
Would this be the best win of the season for BYU?
Yeah.
If it happens.
15 net. Absolutely.
Okay.
Better than Baylor.
Clear best win just because of the metrics.
And it's Kansas.
Name brand.
And it's Kansas. Like, if they weren't ranked, it still might be. Even if the net was worse than Baylor, it still might be because Kansas.
Okay. Our question of the day. What is your bold prediction for BYU-Kansas tonight? Jerem is calling for a clear cover. I'm calling for BYU to score more points in the paint.
Which will lead to a clear cover.
All right.
Both.
Brock.Fillmore on Instagram offers his bold prediction. For some reason, he says, I feel like Dallin Hall is going to hit a clutch step back three over Dickinson.
Oh, again? Not one.
Big eyeball emojis to follow up that,
that
verbiage there.
Oh, let's just see it again. Yeah. Oh, so good, dude.
That moment.
Okay, you can't
that
cheer.
That moment was incredible.
You can't cheer on press row, but what was your reaction when that happened?
I was sitting next to Mitch Harper.
Did you, grab his shoulder or something?
I was sitting next to Mitch Harper, and I think the phrase that came out of my mouth was, oh, my gosh.
Which is exactly what you said when Beck to Arlene happened right next to
you. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and then something to the effect of hitting Mitch Harper in the shoulder or
he
something
can take
like that,
it.
Right?
Strong
he's a big guy. He
don't strong do that guy. To me, though. Yeah. Don't hit my
ow.
Shoulder. Don't sound like that. Men's basketball host number 23, Kansas tonight. Not sure if you heard about this game. 8 Eastern time, we got pregame with you. JT, guest analyst tonight with Blaine and Chris and myself, Spencer on the court. Cannot wait for this one. Also on BYU Radio.
Right after the break, ESPN Sean Farnham in Studio B ahead of an historic Marriott Center matchup between the Cougars and Jayhawks. What does he think of BYU and the advantages they might hold? This is BYU Sports Nation.
So BYU needs to be ready. I think they're extra motivated because BYU beat Kansas last year.
Welcome inside historic Allen Fieldhouse on Dickinson.
He got that one. He got that one.
Scores the three. Right. Down the
We're live in Studio B on a game day. Remember that? I know you all do. BYU winning at the Fog alongside Jerem Jordan. I'm Spencer Linton. Now it's BYU's challenge to try and win at home in the Marriott Center with one of the biggest name brands to ever visit the Marriott Center. Joining us now to preview the game, he will call the game tonight, is the fabulous Sean Farnham of ESPN, who is back in studio for a second time. Sean, welcome back.
I'm just so excited because remember last week when I joined you guys, I said, hey, no T-shirt this week. My man brought a hoodie. Yeah. I mean, he really stepped up his game today. So, like, yeah. I feel like he heard the message and it was received last week.
Progress is progress.
We yes. have a certain code here, Sean.
No, it looks good. It's
collared
a very
shirt
nice
is exceptional. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. It's crisp. I'm not driving back to my hotel in Salt Lake tonight. I'm excited to be here. And, you know, given what transpired over in Salt Lake on Saturday, this game all of a sudden has, like, even more importance as far as I'm concerned. Because you look at the Big 12 tournament, it's not that far away. And with Baylor losing last night to Arizona, now you've got two teams that are sitting there basically vying for that 5 spot right now. Mm-hmm. And a win tonight for BYU, given the final stretch schedule of the Kansas Jayhawks that includes Texas Tech, Arizona, and Houston. Like, that is a gauntlet that they're going to end the season with. BYU could end up putting itself in position to be the 5 seed going into the Big 12 tournament. I think that gives them a great opportunity to advance. And an opportunity to, again, improve seeding in the NCAA tournament. Because eventually, I mean, outside of winning the conference championship, that's what your focus is on right now, is how can you improve your seeding?
A 5 this year would be even better than the 5 last year because you've added Arizona. So it's like you slid up a spot in this whole thing. Yet, this game tonight, you see Kansas. This is the winningest program in NCAA history. Everyone knows the tradition. Yet, odds makers say, hey, BYU by 3, 3.5. BYU's expected to win this game tonight. How do you see it?
Well, I think it's because of the home environment, and you look at the difference between the road and home splits for Kansas, and it's glaring. They drop about 15 points per game. Their field goal percentage goes down about almost 20%.
That is wild.
They make, this is the craziest one, they make the fewest number of free throws in the country on the road this year. Like, there's two other teams that are tied with them, but they only make about 7 free throws per game on the road this year versus 13 at home.
Make it
7
5.
Is nothing.
Make it 5 with the Rock.
Okay. So you add all those things in, and that's probably why Vegas feels the way that it does. Now, you have to look at it also, though, from this perspective, the intangibles, right? They did not play well at Utah. Bill Self in the postgame press conference talked about the lack of effort. During the broadcast, I talked about the lack of effort. You better believe that over the last 48 hours that they have been hammered hard on that. So I would assume with the understanding of, hey, get a split, get back home, you're still in a really good position if you're the Kansas Jayhawks, that their effort tonight will be better, especially at the start. Now, will it be able to be sustained for the full 40? I think that's going to be the interesting part because, as we know, it's going to be rocking in there tonight. BYU's playing really well. Richie Saunders continues to play really, really well. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see how that all plays out when this game tips off later.
Sean Farnham of ESPN is on BYU Sports Nation. You have been a huge part of some big-time atmospheres at the Marriott Center, including calling that unforgettable game for BYU when they took down number 2 Gonzaga in 2020. Yet this still feels different, Sean, because Kansas is a different type of name brand and blue blood than even Gonzaga was in their heydays in 2020.
Why do you make the move to the Big 12?
For games like this.
To play Kansas.
Yeah. I mean, that's the reality of it. I mean, you make this move because it offers you sustainability in the changing culture of college athletics. But I think more importantly, you want to challenge yourself against the very best. and you look at this conference in particular in basketball, it has been the best conference in the country for 10 out of the last 12 years. The other 2 years, it was number two. Like, there's a lot of talk about the SEC, and deservedly so this year. And the SEC is as strong as ever, right? But when the rankings came out this weekend, the difference was only one team. You know, you look at the net rankings, both the SEC and the Big 12 have four teams inside the top 10 of the net rankings right now.
There you go.
So the top half of this conference is as good as it's ever been. And so I think when you look at teams that could potentially win a national championship, right now in this conference, I think there's three that could win a national championship. I think it's Houston. I think it's Texas Tech, and I think it's Iowa State. And I think Texas Tech is a team that we don't talk enough about. And maybe that's partially because of the way their season started, that they were kind of off the radar. And they're in love with Texas. But Grant McCaslin's done a tremendous job. JT Toppin, the last two games, has just been silly. 36.5 points per game, 13.5 rebounds per game,
can't
shooting 74% from the floor. They're a team that really understands their roles. I think when you look at, and this takes it back to Kansas, okay? I think part of the problem for Kansas this year is that when Bill Self looks down his bench, I don't think Bill Self knows what he's getting out of the guys he's putting in the game. Like Badunga, he probably understands, like, this guy's going to rebound, he's going to block some shots, he's going to get to the dunker spot. Like, I know what I'm getting out of him. But when you look at Ryland Griffin, who's starting, A.J. Storr, who averaged 17 points per game last year in Wisconsin in the Big Ten, good conference. Can't figure his footing out in this program as of yet. Doesn't mean he won't, but as of yet, he hasn't figured out how to be a consistent contributor. He's averaging under 6 points per game right now. So I think that inconsistency is part of the inconsistency that you see with Kansas. When you look at those three teams that I mentioned off the top, where is the inconsistency? The only time that Iowa State was struggling is when they dealt with injuries. And then they lost their outside shooting, and then they just, you know, that was the disruptor there. When they're healthy, they're as good as anybody in the country. Houston, as good as anybody in the country, and has been really since the 4-3 start. And you go back into the 4-3 start when they lost to Auburn and Alabama, they had 10-point leads in both those games late in the second half. But Uzan has started to figure out how to defend to the level in which Coach Kelvin Sampson wants him to, and I think that's what has put them there. The best teams have that. The ones that are floundering, the ones that are in that middle section and are all bunched up, they have inconsistencies, and those inconsistencies, when they show up, you end up taking losses that maybe you shouldn't take.
Sean, BYU has been so consistent taking a bunch of threes and making a bunch of threes, but the last few games, they've kind of gone away from that script. Specifically last game, they only made 6 out of 23. You know, not great, 26%, but they dominated the glass. They dominated the paint. And it feels to me like BYU might be able to bully Kansas, as crazy as that sounds, a little bit in the paint again. How do you see it tonight?
They have to if they want to win the game. I mean, Craig Smith in Utah, and I know that's a bad word to say around these parts, Craig Smith in Utah, they did a great job for both games, whether it was against Kansas or Kansas State last night. They dominated them on the glass. It was 16-6 in offensive rebounds in that game on Saturday against Kansas. So if you get those extra possessions, all of a sudden now it gives you greater margin, right? If you can create turnovers and allow this environment to overwhelm the team a little bit, and that you create some easy runouts where you're playing out in front of the defense, that really helps. I think the blueprint of what Utah did was outstanding. They gave up only 2 fast break points in that game to Kansas. And we all know Kansas wants to play in transition. So if you can keep them out of transition, you force them to play in the half court set, this is not a great Kansas 3-point shooting team. And so because Zeke Mayo is their best shooter, if you got to mark him. But the other guys, like, okay, go ahead. And if you hit 5, then we'll tip our cap at the end of the game and say, hey. But you can pinch off those guys a little bit, get into the paint, not allow those downhill drives, create congestion around the basket so that Hunter Dickinson isn't getting to the place on the floor that he can dominate the game. I would anticipate that Hunter Dickinson's going to have a much better game tonight than he played on Saturday, just because he's so good and so efficient, and he goes 4 of 12 shooting the other night. And so you would anticipate that that's not sitting well with him, and that he's going to come back and play at the All-American level that he's played at really for most of the season. But the 5 games prior to Saturday, he was averaging almost 20 points per contest.
Yeah.
So you'd anticipate that he's probably going to come back with a concerted effort. And so that's defensively, I think you've got to try to limit his touches and where he gets his touches. Like, if he's catching the ball at the high post area or 3-point line, he's probably not scoring there. He's a good passer, so you got to make sure that you're alive in the help side position. But if he's catching the ball within 3 feet, that's where a majority of his points come from, and you don't want to allow him to get that deep on you, because that is when you start to pick up some fouls, and that is when you start to struggle a little bit, and you start to question your depth of what you have, because they're sending guys to the bench.
And I'm interested to see if Zeke Mayo's ankle's okay. He finished the game perhaps on adrenaline, but
Left knee.
Okay, yeah, we'll see if he's okay tonight. The BYU bench, meanwhile, you talked about the bench. BYU bench has outscored the starters the last two games.
Yeah.
Down Hall with the season high in the last game.
Can I just tell you how impressed I am with him? Because here's a guy that last year, like, I felt like Chris Collins were there. Here's a guy, Patrick Mahomes. He was the starter. He was the guy that the ball was in his hands a ton. And now all of a sudden he's like, hey, you need to go to the bench. And he seemingly has accepted that role so well. The guys at K-State that I was talking to yesterday, they're like, they talked about him for a good 10, 15 minutes. Can you believe that in this day and age, in this culture of college athletics, that the buy-in's that good? That's a representation of him and his character personally, but it's also a representation of this coaching staff and their connectivity that they have with their team. And that could be as important as Mr. Hall figuring it out, is that he trusts and believes that his head coach, the coaching staff, has his best interest involved there.
Sean Farnham of ESPN is on BYU Sports Nation. Okay, Sean, we have somewhat of a big announcement to make for you, okay? This deals with something that you love. It's near and dear to your heart at BYU. It centers on Cougar Tales. And it will be debuted March 8th for the BYU-Utah game, which we all know is going to be super hype. But you get to be the first person to try it right now. A new flavor of Cougar Tail with
in.
A mascot.
Come I got
on.
Mascot.
There's a Cougar Tail mascot. Who knew?
I mean, this is amazing.
Keep singing.
Oh, my gosh. What is the flavor here? What is the flavor that we're dealing with?
Reveal it. Try it.
Try it out.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
I get to try it before you two.
Yes.
Go ahead.
You
please.
Take the first bite,
please.
And then we'll give you the official designation.
This is amazing.
I did not know there was a Cougar Tail mascot until today.
Here we go.
Okay, you've taken a bite.
Oh.
What do you think? Royal blueberry, Sean.
Royal blueberry.
I'm here for it.
Let's go.
Debuted March 8th.
That's good.
First time I've had anything other than maple. What do you think?
I think it's really good.
I think it's delicious. I just can't get over the mascot. That's the first time I've seen it in person.
We saw a picture.
We should have a mascot off between the Cougar Tail mascot and Cosmo.
Just see.
Like, when Conor McGregor was here, we could have put, like, a steel cage up and just seen what happened.
That would have been epic.
That would have been great. That's almost as epic as this.
This is never, they've never had royal blueberry. That's pretty cool. They've had what?
They've had vanilla, chocolate.
Has there been a strawberry
before? I'm going to be honest.
Maybe. This is really good, right?
You think it's better than the maple bar? How are we feeling?
Very different.
Okay.
Like, the maple bar is very consistent, right?
Yeah.
Like, you kind of know what you're expecting. Like, I didn't know what to expect when tasting this.
Yeah.
It's good.
The aftertaste is actually lovely. Just be honest.
We have the rest of the show to do and probably shouldn't get our teeth blue, but who knows?
I don't even care. Yeah.
I'm not even mad.
I'm going to walk in and shoot around here at, like, 10 a.m. and Coach Young's gonna be like, what is that all over your face? And I'm like,
little do you know.
New Cougar flavor. Tail, did new you flavor. Not watch the show and find out?
March 8th against Utah. Perfect, right?
It's really good.
It's gonna be awesome.
By the way, they were not happy with my suit color last night for that game. Don't know if you saw it.
Blue?
Yeah.
Nice. Way to rep.
And
your Cougar Tails workout shirt?
A couple of the heavy hitting donors and boosters that sit to the side of us said, you wore a BYU colored suit.
Right, he did.
I was like, well, I wasn't going to wear a red suit. I don't own one. And I couldn't wear anything purple. So,
blue's
this is what you got. Like, it's blue.
Like, I went to UCLA. I like blue over red. What are you?
Yeah, it's okay.
What's going on?
It was about my suit color was pretty much the color of the box, but that's okay.
It's a beautiful color. I can't wait to enjoy this.
We could not think of a better person.
I love it.
To have on the show to
make sure you pick
this.
It up, everybody. Make sure you pick up
world announcement.
The Cougar Tail at Utah. Game right here. It's delicious.
March 8th. Debut. Royal blueberry.
Okay. Now that we've got to this point. Okay. I'm assuming are we both going to Kansas City?
Just me.
I believe Jerem. I have responsibilities back here.
Okay.
So.
Understood. Okay. Are we doing the food tasting thing again?
Let's do it again. That was
fun. But what are we, like, we have to, like, we can't have, like, Cosmo's, like, churros. Like, that was, like, that.
We need the Cougar Tail.
There's a little drama off the court on that one.
I mean, we have to have something. Like, this is authentic. Like, this right here. This is authentic.
That'd be nice. I don't disagree.
All right, maybe they're like mini ones.
Maybe, yeah.
But something. We can't. You can't. I'm just saying.
Cougar Tail.
You're allowed to make your push for this. And we
powers that be
should be at the Big 12 tournament.
We are with you. The Cougar Tail should be represented at the Big 12 tournament.
Agreed.
Yeah.
The powers that be need to figure that out.
Just like the Iowa State Cyclone.
Cyclone.
Yeah.
The UCF.
That should be there.
It was like orange with vanilla.
That
was
good.
Delicious.
That little milkshake thing. That was really good.
There was some.
Okay, so we're going to do that again. Will we do that again?
Let's do it.
Okay, so I get an office to do WCC tournament, but then I come in on Wednesday. I'm calling games this year, so I'm doing a couple of games on Thursday and maybe Wednesday in studio around all of that.
Okay.
But we'll definitely have to taste the food again.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
We can always just send Jerem with a few too.
I don't know if they travel well, I'll be honest.
Have them pass them out
on the plane.
But I do hope that BYU fans show up even more this year, because it's a fantastic event.
It's great.
Yeah. And all these other schools, they do, like Iowa State packs it in, Kansas packs it in. Like, there's a lot of good following, and it's, you know, if you've been to other conference tournaments, like this one feels big. It feels good.
It's up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're hoping BYU starts Wednesday and keeps going. That's the hope.
Yep. All right, Sean.
You
awesome, right?
My day is made. I don't even have to do anything else for the rest of the day.
The Royal Blueberry Cougar Tail. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Sean.
No worries.
BYU basketball with Kevin Young coming up Thursday night, 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app. You know what you won't see that night? Tasting Cougar Tails.
Okay.
They all about business.
It's only on this show.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
After the break, what's Kevin Young's mindset going into tonight's game and men's volleyball's latest movement in the national rankings? Plus, which BYU freshman is making history 1 week at a time? Stay with us.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social. We're on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
It's really simple, so you should do it. And I probably need to turn on my microphone.
Nah.
So I'm going to turn my microphone back on.
There we go.
Okay.
Yeah.
My apologies. It's live television. I'm the one looking like an idiot. And now we should do the headlines.
No. Men's basketball host number 23, Kansas, tonight. Cougars favored by as many as 3.5 points. Here's Kevin Young on his team's mentality heading into tonight's game.
BYU goes there last year, beats them at their place. They come out here, you know, they've lost a couple in a row. You know, you can make that narrative, oh, they're going to be hungry and this and that. Well, so are we. You know, we've played a couple good games in a row, but we're hungry as well. And so I think all that stuff kind of goes out the window once the ball gets thrown up and you just got to execute the game plan.
What did Chad Lewis once tell us?
Day hungry.
Lunardi has BYU the last four byes and as a 10th seed in his latest bracketology. Pre-game coverage for tonight, 8 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Let's visit the Big 12 scoreboard from last night, shall we? Number 19, Arizona. Big road win at Baylor, 74-67. The Wildcats 12-3 in Big 12 play. With the Baylor loss, we mentioned this earlier, BYU can take hold of fifth place all by their lonesome with the win over Kansas tonight. Utah held on against Kansas State, 74-69 in Salt Lake City. Both of those teams now 7-8 in Big 12 competition. Tonight's games along with BYU and Kansas include number 5 Houston at Arizona State, Colorado against number 8 Iowa State, and number 9 Texas Tech at TCU. Three Big 12 teams in the top 10, Jeremy.
Not bad. Men's volleyball up to number 6 in the latest AVCA poll after 2 wins at Concordia. Cougars host Barry, a D2 team from Miami, Friday and Saturday, 9 Eastern on Big Ten Plus.
Hey, Royal Blue Barry, Cougar Tail, yeah.
Hello, Barry. Oh,
yes. Delaney Gibb named the Big 12 Freshman of the Week for the 8th time this season.
Nice.
That's ridiculous. It's only happened 3 times in conference history where a player has been named the Freshman of the Week 8 times.
What's wild is she's been the BYUSN Freshman of the Week every week.
She averaged 14 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 steals this past week to help lead BYU to an upset win over number 20 Oklahoma State recently on Saturday. Gibb and BYU return to action tomorrow night at Arizona.
Baseball beat Fresno State 6-4 in the final game of the series after trailing 4-2 in the top of the 8th. Nice comeback by the Cougs. They play at UCLA tonight, 8 Eastern on BYU Radio and Big Ten Plus.
That's the Mountain West Conference preseason favorite, Fresno State.
Okay.
Those were good wins.
Good split.
Ryan Rico signed a 2-year contract extension, well-earned, with the Cincinnati Bengals this morning.
They punt a lot.
He broke all types of records for Cincinnati this season. gross punting average at 49.1, net average at 42.9, specifically each set, those Bengals season records over the last season.
Lee Johnson is pleased.
Yes, he
former
is.
Former Bengal himself.
He should be.
Why does Ryan Rico have a shoe on his foot?
Well, listen, Lee played for the Bungles.
Yeah.
Ryan plays for the Bengals.
Yeah. Yeah. little different. There's actually hope.
Out of tonight's BYU-Kansas game in the Marriott Center, we take a trip down memory lane. Only good vibes here to count down the top five wins in the history of the Marriott Center. Ooh. Top five Tuesday on the way. This is BYU-SN.
Gilder got rejected by Childs.
Dan Age is going to eat Pace Mannion's lunch today.
College basketball is spectacular. Today proves it.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B alongside Jerem Jordan. I'm Spencer Linton with Kansas in the Marriott Center and that Blue Blood program, the most winning program in college basketball history, hitting Provo. We had to naturally look back at the top five greatest wins in Marriott Center history. Jerem, start us off.
Number five, 1986, number 14 Pitt at BYU, All-American future first-round pick Mike Smith goes crazy. He had 34 points. Woo! He blows out number 14 Pitt by 20, 93-73. Pitt ended number 12 at the end of the season. Final AP poll had two NBA players. Send it in, Jerome!
That Jerome Lane.
Yes. And Charles Smith.
Didn't they have... The former Arizona head coach has the point guard, too, on that team, Sean Miller.
Was Sean Miller on
that
team?
He was the one that dished it to Jerome Lane that then broke the glass.
Oh. Yeah.
Number four, and I know a lot of BYU fans will remember this, 1979, LaSalle at BYU, the Cougar Classic Championship game featured two National Players of the Year, Danny Ainge and Michael Brooks of LaSalle. Three future All-Americans, five future NBA guys. Michael Brooks scored a Marriott Center record 51 points. At one point, he scored 28 consecutive.
Wow.
Devin Durant added 25 for BYU. Danny Ainge chipped in 19. BYU outlasted LaSalle 108-106.
Amazing.
In triple overtime.
That game's talked about still to this day, like on this program. Number
BYU
three.
Fans applauded Michael Brooks. They like standing ovation, even though like as he left the floor.
Which I don't advocate. Don't apply for this one. Number three, 1981. Number nine, Utah. At number 18, BYU. This was a massive game. Danny Ainge's home finale. Think about that team. They're going to go on a run to the Elite Eight. Marriott Center record crowd of 23,106. One BYU fan even brought Utah guard Pace Mannion's quote-unquote lunch to the game.
Yeah.
He said this.
Yeah.
Why do you have Pace Mannion's lunch?
Because Dan Ainge is going to eat Pace Mannion's lunch today.
Was that funny at the time? Because now I'm just like, oh, okay.
Danny Ainge scored 35.
Led BYU to a 95-76 win over the ninth-ranked Utes. That was a massive win.
Huge win. BYU erased a double-digit deficit in that game. Played really poorly in the first half. Okay, number two. Gonzaga. Number two team in the country in 2020 at number 23 BYU. The Cougars. Led by Yoli Childs, 28 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists. The first player since Marquette's Dwayne Wade to do that against a number one or number two ranked team, by the way. Court storming. TJ Haas added 18 points, 8 assists. Jake Toulson had 5 threes. BYU wins 91-78. That last pass to Yoli Childs for the dunk is that lasting image for me at the end of that game.
I stood next to you for the entire second half in the tunnel by BYU's bench, and it was glorious.
Connor Harding threw the wraparound pass. Yoli throws down.
Yeah, it was an amazing night.
Delirium.
We didn't know that just a couple weeks later everything would
shut down.
Everything would shut down, and this was the peak moment. This was the moment for that team.
All right, Jeremy, what's number one?
And number one, I think you know what it is. 2011, top 10 matchup. San Diego State, Kawhi Leonard and his Jimmerness. Jimmer went off for 43 points. Five made threes, won the National Player of the Year.
Take that, Billy White.
71-58. I sat on the baseline and shot this for True Blue. Jimmer Mania, Jimmer's Player of the Year campaign really took fire after this. First ever Marriott Center court storm that we could recall. It was an unbelievable night. It was on CBS Network. Nowadays, this would be on ESPN. It was awesome, dude. It was, you that night, you're watching this game in Palm Springs, right?
Yeah, no,
and you asked Novak Djokovic, if you could change the channel to watch this or something.
Well, that was a little bit late. That was the New Mexico Jimmer game.
Oh, that was New Mexico. Okay.
But still, yes, I asked Novak Djokovic to get out of the way of the TV so that I could watch Jimmer play. Okay.
This is, we had debate whether Gonzaga was better or this. And I honestly, I look at this list. I'm like, dude, you could put several of them, these at number one. We just think Jimmer, 43 points, top 10 matchup. It's got to be number one. After the game, Kevin Durant tweeted, Jimmer Fredette's the greatest.
Yes, because of what happened, like the incredible attention nationally on Jimmer Fredette and this game, and it just, it dominated SportsCenter. Like it led SportsCenter. It was talked about for the first 20 minutes of the show. It's tough to beat that headline.
It was amazing.
A lot of people think that's the game that won Jimmer Fredette. Like your Heisman moment? Yes, like that was his Heisman moment, right?
Probably. New Mexico helped late where you scored 52 on one free throw.
But that game was the most viewed game of any game that BYU played that year. Understandably.
And CBS Sports Network, which is wild.
Yeah.
At the time, it wasn't as easily viewed as you think. Mm. Like nowadays, that'd be everywhere. It'd be crazy.
Yeah.
Okay,
they
baseball.
Beat San Diego State both times in the regular season that year, and it was glorious.
Yes, they did. Charles Buell banking in threes from the side. It was crazy. Baseball looks to win a third straight game tonight, playing UCLA. Quick turnaround, by the way. BYU played last night at Fresno State. Now they're at UCLA. So travel day, play, 8 Eastern tonight on BYU Radio, Big Ten Plus as well.
What's your bold prediction for tonight's BYU-Kansas game? More responses to our question of the day next. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
This here program right there, BYU Sports Nation, that's the name of the show, is on demand. You can download the free BYU TV and BYU Radio apps or listen to the pod. Subscribe, rate, and review. All we really want is your email address.
That's true.
That's it.
Hey, if you missed our top five Tuesday list, top five Marriott Center wins all time, it was fantastic. And because I know some of you are going to message me if I don't mention this, yes, I didn't overlook the exhibition that BYU had against Russia in the late 70s. That was a huge deal. BYU played well, but it was an exhibition. So we went with actual wins.
Didn't the Celtics play the Lakers one time in the Marriott Center with Bird? I've heard this.
And did they play in the Marriott Center?
I think they did. I think they played an exhibition in the Marriott Center.
Interesting.
There have been NCAA tournament games in the Marriott Center.
Huge concerts.
Right? We didn't include those. So
Journey jammed out in the Marriott Center?
Oh, a dude like broke his leg or something.
Jeez.
Dave McGann has a great story on that.
Our question of the day. What's your bold prediction for BYU-Kansas tonight? From @KurtJB07 on X, who says, Yegor Demin goes for a triple-double, leading the team to a big victory.
It's not out of the question for him.
Double.
We have not been on triple-double watch with him quite yet. That'd be fun, though. He could do it in assists and points, rebounds. He's 6'9".
The basketball player closest to it this year, there are two, and they're both on the women's side, Amari Whiting and Delaney Gibb. Both have kind of been on triple-double watch at times.
Because they rebound and pass.
Yes.
And score.
Harlan underscore Tim 63148
really?
On X answers. Richie Saunders will have a career game tonight. What would a career game
31.
Entail? Okay.
31, because 30 is his career.
He went for 17 and 14 against Kansas State in his first career double-double. That
combined,
was a career game.
Combined for 31 of stuff.
Okay.
I'll take that.
Nelvin Wilson 7 on X answers, the spirit of Conor McGregor shows itself late in a tight game to lead BYU to a breakaway 15-point victory. Go Cougars, he says. C-Y-O-O.
Nice. When he put his arm around you, I was like, don't choke him out. At Mary Runner 32 on X. Inspired shooting. Even Foose will get a three-pointer.
Oh.
I don't think so. He's 1 for 4 this year. Doesn't have the green light.
Foose took a 3 against West Virginia, didn't he? And didn't make it.
He was 1 for 3. He missed that one. He's 1 for 4.
Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. This is a picture in from @CertOpinion. His name is Dylan. Says this. Oh, it's a video. Sorry. This part 2. Take a look. Oh, yeah. Dallin Hall.
We'll just see it again,
back.
Baby. Yes.
That part 2. Is there going to be another Dallin Hall step back 3?
I think Dallin's
in any capacity.
Pretty confident on offense.
He has to take one at least, right? Like just by the nature of it. Like, Dallin, you need to have at least attempt one step back 3.
We'll call it a heat check.
Okay.
Just from last year.
Well, just one. Attempt
rare
one.
Rare is the heat check from a year ago. We will allow it.
Early in the game. Right onto the floor.
Sure.
Yeah, put Dickinson on me. Let's go.
Let's go. He gets the switch. He gets the switch. He's like summoning the crowd.
I wonder what's going to happen next. Today's Rise and Shoutout presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
The Rise and Shoutout goes to the atmosphere that will be tonight. It's going to be electric. They have towels on every seat, it looks like.
Awesome.
Joel Marion of Athletic Marketing putting
out
a picture.
That.
This is Justin Young minutes ago from the shoot-around for BYU. Cannot wait for the game tonight. So excited.
Holy cow.
Pre-game 8 Eastern on BYU TV.
Sean Farnham joined us on the program today. We appreciate him and the Royal Blueberry Cougartel moment we had with
that
him.
That was pretty fun. Sorry to Dennis Pitta. We ran out of...
For Jerem Jordan, I am Spencer Linton. And a shout-out to the great Michael Smith for that big Pitt win. Channeling all the good vibes. We'll see you tonight for pregame. Go Cougars!